Whenever you try the leather, it's so amazing because you completely understand that it's treated in a different way. The smell is so natural and so amazing. Also the touch, patina, how it develops with the pass of the time.
Welcome to our listeners. I'm honored to welcome Miguel Sanchez, a founder and creative director at Café Leather, which is a Spanish company that is specialized in premium leather goods. We're going to talk about his life, we're going to talk about the early stages of his company, and of course about leather. Hello and welcome, Miguel. How are you?
Alles gut, Paul. Wie geht's dir?
Very, very good. Oh, you speak German.
That's mainly all I know about German. But yeah, it was 1 year in Frankfurt. Well, actually in Wiesbaden for Erasmus. So I learned a little bit, but you guys speak really good English. So it's hard to learn another language.
German is very hard to learn. And my Spanish is on the same level as your German, I would say. So hola, ¿qué tal?
Good. But yeah, Paul, the honor is definitely...
That's where it stops.
The honor is definitely mine. And yeah, thank you for having me in Partners in Time.
Where are you right now?
Well, actually, I'm in Madrid. I'm in Spain.
And is that where you live right now?
Yes. Actually, I grew up here in the same place that I'm living right now. Just a neighbor in the north of Madrid, just in the perimeter. So I'm pretty close to the countryside. So it's kind of living in the big city, but also having the good things about living in the countryside.
Absolutely. I have to ask, Real Madrid or Atletico Madrid?
Oh, Real Madrid. Of course, Real Madrid.
Okay.
Yeah, we actually win the final the other weekend. I don't know if you saw the match.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a very... I'm a big soccer guy.
Oh, really?
So
what are you supporting? What are you supporting?
My problem is I don't really have a team because I grew up in a city that doesn't have a team. So I support soccer, I would say. And to be fair, the second biggest problem is I worked a fair amount in soccer, and that kind of destroys the fandom. Like it's you need a little bit of distance to be a fan of something. Same with music or musicians or bands or something. You kind of lose the, like, there needs to be a little bit of mystery and distance and to really adore something, I would say. But that's just my interpretation of it.
Definitely not the same to have a hobby than a work. So I completely understand that.
How's it with leather? Were you always a fan, or is that because that's your passion? I think,
yeah, actually it is, and definitely not. I mean, I have nothing to do with leather. I don't know nothing about leather like 7 years ago. I don't know. I start meeting some brands from the United States that they care so much about the leather and more than leather, the vegetable tanning leather, that it's a special process. That is so respectful and no harmful at all. I don't know why I start having that passion about this raw material, and start investigating, meeting the artisans, and knowing a little bit more about this world. And here I am.
I want to go back a little bit. So you did grow up in the same city you're living right now, in the suburbs of Madrid. What was your passion when you were young? Like, did you do any sports? Did you had a craftsmanship? It feels like leather, was it not, when you were a kid? But what was your passion when you were a kid?
Well, actually, I mean, my passion was mostly all child's passion. I mean, it was just to enjoy with your friends, play some sports. I like to play soccer. I like to play paddle. Simple life. I mean, not too much.
Did you go to university after that?
Yes. Actually, I went to university. I go to make business administration. I did prefer to do some marketing stuff, but you know, your parents always want you to be a little bit more safe. So I go for business administration, and in the third year I went to Wiesbaden, as I told you before, to do my Erasmus, probably one of the most beautiful years of my life. It was amazing.
I guess you find a couple of people in Wiesbaden who dream of going to Madrid for their Erasmus.
Yes.
It's interesting that you see it.
All the people ask me why I went to Germany, but actually, when you go to Germany, you realize that it's an amazing country. I just really love it.
Why?
Because I think the culture is so different that you learn a lot. I mean, here in Spain, we are less disciplinated, more impunctual, more more Latin, I think. And yeah, you guys, well, have all the virtues that that they are really valuable. So, yeah, I really enjoy it. You are not that cold as people say. I mean, people say that you are cold, but you're not.
Yeah, compared to Spanish people, we are, I would say. But and Chris is from Frankfurt. Did you know that?
Oh, like, no, I didn't know that.
He grew up very, very close to your... And I think he went to school in Wiesbaden, as I remember. But
for sure.
Maybe I'm wrong about that. Okay, so you learned... Did you finish studies? Like, did
yes.
you... Because I did not. I studied business administration as well. And my mom is still mad at me that I did not finish my studies because, I mean, it is kind of the safe way, I would say, to especially business administration. Mm-hmm. It's like you have so many options afterwards, but it's also a little bit boring. The studies, I have to admit. And I didn't do Erasmus. I dropped out of college, I would say, which is a cool sentence to say as well, right?
actually, I don't think that's so bad. I mean, I really believe that going to university, it's more about having 5 years of your life focus on something and trying to get to some goals. But what I really learned how to be a professional, it was more working than in university. So I don't think you need to go to university like to be whatever you want to be in your life. So that's definitely not a problem at all.
Yeah, I agree. What did you do work-wise after you finished school? Did you go back to Madrid and to Spain?
Yeah. Actually, I went back to Madrid. Then I started my professional life in Heineken. I was working in the marketing department. There is where I learned what was a big company about, and I really enjoyed that time. It was like an internship. After that, I changed to a startup that it was focused on online sales, actually more focused on flash sales. So what I used to do, it was looking for suppliers that can offer me some discounts to offer to our clients for like a few days, like 5 days, 30% discount or something like that. And even I knew that the online shopping was not even the future, but the present. I was really curious about the retail. So I changed, there was 1 year that I went to Bali with my friends and I meet this brand called Deus Ex Machina that I was really in love with.
They're from LA originally, right?
I think the owner was from Australia, I think.
Ah, correct, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. But they have a big store in LA and I'm a big, big, big fan. If you can pronounce the name right, it's very hard, but that's kind of cool too.
To have a brand
that nobody really knows how to pronounce, like Emile Leon d'Or, or however.
That's another cool brand.
I don't know. But you met the guy who founded it?
No, actually not. Actually, I didn't meet the guy that founded because I was just the brand manager of Spain and Portugal. I was working for a showroom, so I was also the brand manager for many other brands like Veja. I don't know, these shoes from France. Woolrich from the Parkas. Komono. Yeah. So Barracuda. I was the brand manager of many brands, so I learned a lot about those brands. And I think that was the perfect moment whenever I understand all the things from the online, the retail, and everything to create my own brand. And that's what I'm doing nowadays.
You got to explain it a little bit closer because maybe one or two listeners out there don't know what Café Leather is exactly. Can you give me a brief introduction of what it is you do there?
Yeah, if I have to say what is Café Leather, I think that Café Leather is my way to see life expressed through authentic products. That way of doing things when time was a little bit more slow, like just focusing on raw materials, on sustainable raw materials and the best possible artisan hands, and trying to bring back all good traditions. That will be a good summarized way to describe Café Leather. And of course, one of our main materials or our common thread will be the vegetable tanning leather that maybe I can explain to you a little bit better later.
Yeah, absolutely. And but what about the café? Because like I understand leather, I understand café, but I've never heard café leather or leather café. So is there a story behind how you came up with that name, or explain it to
me? It actually is. I mean, we really thought that it was important to have a name that it was short, that you can mainly pronounce it in all the languages, because I knew that the brand will be better sales outside of Spain than probably in Spain. And actually, at the moment, the coffee was growing so fast. I don't know if you remember, but 10 years ago, yeah, you only drink coffee for having extra power for your day. And actually, today is just like a ritual. So you can take like 20 minutes to make your own coffee with the proper temperature, the specific roastery, and all that stuff. So there was actually a kind of coffee that is called specialty coffee. This coffee is really like handcrafted. It's all the processes are artisanal. So it was like really, really, really close to what we are doing, but with leather. So we decided to go that way, and we decided to go to a sustainable way processes, because we also noticed that whenever you go to a supermarket, a few years ago you only have like one fridge with a few bio yogurts, and that was all. But nowadays you have like three or four rows full of bio and eco and those kind of things. So yeah, definitely the world was going towards that way. So yeah.
What was the very, very first product?
The very first,
you guys released.
Yeah, the very first product was wallets, and it is not that I'm a wallet guy. I mean, it's not like my passion, but I really love designing wallets. And actually, it was more about taking less risk at the beginning. So whenever you start a company, one of the things that you have to thought about is how do I take the less risk possible. And actually, the wallets have no gender. They also have not like a period of time in the year that you have to sell them, like, for example, swimsuits or any other things that only can sell a few months in the year. Also, you don't have sizes. So yeah, it was easy to produce just a few of them. So I started with that, but actually, it was not my passion. So after that, I just start realizing that what I should do is start making products that can transmit or can express my values and my way of life. So then they came the driving gloves that probably they are one of our best sellers, and we didn't expect that. I mean, we just did it because we love driving and we love cars, and suddenly, I don't know why, but the people just love them, and nowadays we're selling a lot of gloves.
Very, very interesting to listen to you. The wallet story. Wiesbaden really treated you well. It's quite German to go the safe way, you know, like to think about and not to follow the passion and don't care about what others say. Sorry, but it's it's a clever way to do it, to be honest. And then, out of, would you say it was luck or try and error to find out a product that people liked you didn't expect to like, or was it courage, or was it, what's the biggest value in this?
I think that, I mean, always luck is a point, but I always say this, I mean, luck is not coming without doing nothing. I mean, normally luck is something that you're looking for. So whenever you work hard in your life and you put some passion, normally the luck some days it's going to come. So I think it was more a hard work than luck. But of course, also luck is something that helps us in some times. At least whenever you suddenly meet people, like for example, whenever we make the collaboration with IWC, that was not luck because we were looking for. But yeah, suddenly just some guy from the marketing team saw our brand and they just wanted to contact us. So I suppose that we were in the right moment in the right place. Should I call that luck?
Luck is probably, when preparation meets opportunity,
yeah,
I always say.
Absolutely.
So that is kind of, so you're now doing it for 7 years, you said, right?
Yeah.
That's how old it is. What's been like, take me a little bit through the ups and downs of 7 years of founding your own company, running your own company, and creating goods. Like what's been the highlight? probably IWC, but other than that, maybe there's another highlight of these 7 years. What's been some challenges? Like, where were you struggling? Because there's a lot to learn, I guess.
Yeah, so long story short. There are so many different challenges. Actually, every single day is a challenge. I mean, you know more than me about entrepreneurship, and actually every single day is crazy. I mean, whenever you go to your office, you want to do something, and suddenly just appear some stuff that you didn't expect, and you have to do another thing and another thing, and probably your to-do list is bigger whenever you go out of the office than whenever you get in. So challenges are everywhere. Probably one of the highlights that I have to say for sure, it was a collaboration with IWC. Actually, we were so lucky that we collaborate not only with IWC, but also with many other brands like Mercedes-AMG and other brands that I really don't understand why we get there, but I really believe that whenever you treat yourself like you are not smaller than anyone. So, and let me explain that. I mean, of course, IWC or Mercedes-AMG, they are huge companies, I mean, compared to us. But the values are the same and the philosophy is the same. So why shouldn't we collaborate? I mean, it's always a win-win situation if you can focus somehow. So I really think that our highlights will be probably the collaborations we've made so far. Also just having the website that we have today, and that was also a hard work for sure. The community we have in Instagram and different platforms, and actually just surviving. I mean, we have passed through a pandemic. So many stuff coming up, and we're still alive. So I have to say thank you to so many people that trust in us, and all our customers that every day are just making this happen.
You just said IWC or Mercedes is way bigger than you. How many people are working for Café Leather right now?
Well, we're actually 10 people at the workshop. I mean, like in the day-to-day. Okay. But actually, I'm always saying the same. I mean, the funny thing about this kind of companies is that you are mostly doing the same departments that a big company. So you have logistics, you have operations, you have marketing, you have sales, customer service, quality control. So you have mainly everything, because we design the product and we produce the main material that we are using for our products. We need a lot of people, and actually we are 10 in-house, but then we have all the artisans behind in many different places in the world, like Ubrique in Cadiz in Spain, that is a mainly manufacturer, but also on Italy, United States, and many other places.
But you do produce locally.
Yep. Mainly locally, but it is true that I'm always saying this. I mean, I don't want to produce locally something that we don't know how to produce. So probably if I want to produce beer, I'll go probably to Germany. I mean, you guys know better than nobody to produce beer. So that's why we are producing, for example, some work gloves made with a special leather. They are produced in United States because they know better than nobody how to make this.
Okay.
Or the Waxhed campus that is produced in England, because they are the main suppliers of this kind of fabrics. So just looking the best place to produce everything.
You have quite a big product portfolio, if I can say. Like, you're dropping product after product. Like, how big is it? What other products are there?
Well, you know, the bad thing is that one of our handicaps, and between brackets, but one of our handicaps is that whenever you buy something from us, you will probably don't need anything else from that category. I mean, like when you buy a wallet and it lasts all your life, I mean, what should I sell after that? So the good thing is that whenever you try the wallet and you see the quality and you see that it's the best wallet in your life, or you try the gloves and they are the softest you've ever feel, then you want to buy the keychain, or then you want to buy the travel bag, or even the apron, or anything. So we are constantly looking for producing new products, new collaborations, so we refresh the portfolio, and the people is happy enough to keep on buying.
You are a great salesman. I'm gonna buy a product straight away if it lasts forever. I'm sure. I've seen them, and I've seen some at IWC in Schaffhausen, and it's amazing. It's great craftsmanship, and it's really, really a very, very special product. But I want to learn a little bit more about leather, because out of my, it's 2023, so we got to talk a little bit about how sustainable it is. And I know it's very important to IWC as well. And it's an animal product, and there's alternatives to it, which you use. Can you walk me through what's happening right now with leather as of today?
Actually, let me just try to explain you why I believe, I really believe that this is probably one of the most sustainable products in the planet. Actually, whenever they talk now about vegan leather or any other kind of non-animal leather, we are mainly talking about plastic or petrol derivatives. So actually, that's something that we are not believing in. We don't try any plastic, this zero plastic company. We only work with recycled materials, and actually the leather that we used is produced in the most sustainable and natural way possible. And actually this is the same way that they used to do it 100 years ago. Vegetable tanning processes, I think it's just the 5% of the total leather. So 95% of the leather it's produced with chromium. Chromium, it's a really harmful chemical that, I mean, even if you throw just a small amount of this chemical to a river, you will kill all the animals in there. So we produce it with vegetable tannins, and the difference is that whenever you use chrome, it takes like one day only, so it reduces cost a lot. And actually our processes take up to 45 days and more than 50 different processes to get to what you finally got in your hands. And whenever you try the leather, it's so amazing because you completely understand that it's treated in a different way. The smell is so natural and so amazing. Also the touch, the patina, how it develops with the pass of the time, because the pores remain open as the difference with the chromium. So whenever it passes the time, you make your product more unique. And that's something that our clients love. Actually, whenever they lose their wallets, they always call us and say like, hey, I want my wallet back. And we say like, okay, we can replace it. But they say, I don't want a replacement. I mean, I want my wallet, because it was their wallet. It was their uniqueness.
Yeah. I really like that. Now I can talk forever, but we're a little bit limited on time about leather. I want to talk a little bit more about you and your position in there. You're a good salesman. I learned that. But you're also a creative director. Yeah. What does that mean in this case? Like, what's your job in there?
Well, actually, I mean, that's like a way of calling my position. But as I said before, I mean, the days are really crazy. So you have to do a lot of things, and you have to try and help all departments possible. So the creative director, I think what we used to do in our day-to-day is try to understand perfectly the philosophy and the values behind the brand, and try to use the word coherence in the most beautiful way, if I can say that. So it's just about coherence all the time. It's, if you say something, you do something. It's not about that you say something for marketing actions, and then whenever you are in the back office, you do whatever you like in the opposite way. So it's just trying to make all the team understand what are our values, where do we want to get, what are our goals, and how we should get to achieve our highlights, as you said before.
It seems like you have a lot of ideas. And where do you get your inspiration from? Like, well, who are you following, or what are you following, or are you going out in the nature and it just comes to you, or how do you get inspired?
Actually, I'm following pretty interesting people. I mean, actually, I have to say, people like you, Paul. I mean, I think you're such an inspiration guy. And there's a lot of people that it's really, really cool. I know that social media is probably not something good in sometimes, but for inspiration, it's really good to understand how others see life, and more when you meet people that it's trying to express in a natural way and not just because it's Instagram. So there's a lot of people inspiring me in Instagram for sure. A lot of brands, as you said, Imelda or Keith. There are some really cool brands just doing really cool stuff out there, and also you have a lot of things surrounding you that inspires you. I mean, nature is probably the best place that you can get inspired for sure. I love traveling. I actually love cooking also, that I know that you also like it. You can get inspired anywhere. I mean, just probably one of the best inspiration moments, it's a nice sunset with the love of my life, Adriana, and just a fresh beer or a cold wine. That would be probably one of the most inspirations moments in my life. And I just love that. The sunsets are a special moment for sure for me.
Absolutely. The last and the first bit of a day is very, very special. And but I couldn't agree more regarding Instagram. I'm taking a lot of my inspiration out of that. And it's inspiration is a big word, you know, like I'm copying a lot or I'm remixing a lot. So but you need stuff to like part of me is like a little truffle pick, you know, like I'm finding stuff that I like, and the selection of the stuff that I like is already creating somehow, maybe a little bit. I don't see myself as an artist, but still, it's a weird times, and nobody really knows what an artist in 2023 really does. But I do have to admit that Instagram is a big, big, big source of inspiration, especially because storytelling is so important over there, and brands who do it well or people who do it well really. Like, yeah, it caters to their quality. So good stories are found on social media, especially on Instagram. So I'm really a lot on Instagram, and I really enjoy it in between because I get a lot of inspiration. And the algorithm helps you if you're interested in new things. All of a sudden, it flushes you a lot in there. So that's very good. But you're also a founder. So you founded the company, and I learned a lot when you were talking about the first years. What would you say to a younger person or to somebody who wants to start their own business, maybe in accessories, maybe somewhere around there? What was something you would be happy to have known before? And maybe you can say it here so somebody learns something.
Well,
as a founder.
Yeah, well, actually, I mean, I think I always say the same. Whenever you want to be an entrepreneur, that should be something that should came really, really from your inside. I mean, it's not that you are just completely sick and tired of your boss, or do you just want to quit your job. It's more than that. It's something that you are passionate about, and you understand that you will have to put your feet into mud. I don't know if you can say it that way, if you that you should understand that it will be a few years of really, really hard working. Probably that the results are not going to be successful in the very first years, but you have to believe in yourself so much. Of course, listening to others, that's something really, really interesting, and the opinions, but you have to filter that and understand what will be good for your company and process it. But yeah, I think I will just say to work hard. And what should I say that I would love to that someone should tell me before? I don't know. Just start. I mean, don't wait till you have everything perfectly managed. I mean, don't start whenever you have the perfect product or the perfect marketing strategy or the perfect website. Just start. I mean, just keep on running. Start a little bit walking, then go faster, and then finish up running as fast as you can. But just don't want to run so fast in the beginning. And actually, as I said, don't wait too much to start, because if you wait too much, you probably lose a little bit your passion, and that'll be hard to get it back.
Couldn't agree more. What's next with you? Are there any more collaborations coming up? Do you have new launches coming up?
Yes, actually, I mean, there's a few things coming up with the IWC team that I cannot say so much about.
I saw some of them. They're looking great.
Okay,
I gotta admit, it's I want it.
Thank you. And actually, yes, we have some other collaborations in the oven, and new products that I'm pretty sure that you also love. As I said, I mean, we want to be like not a wallets brand or a gloves brand, but a total look brand. So we are probably soon launching leather jackets. We are producing Japanese denim, velvet pants, nice socks for winter, and new watch straps made of Cordovan that you will love them. I mean, they are so amazing. So yeah, I mean, so much things coming up.
I'm looking forward to that. I have one last question before we wrap it up, which I always ask everybody. If you have a little bit of extra time every day, an hour, or every week, a day, or every month, a week, or something, like, what would you use it for? If somebody gives you the present of more time, what would be the first thing you would use it for?
That was actually a question that I will ask you. I mean, how you manage time, Paul? I mean, it's crazy how many things you do in a day. I mean, I really don't know how you do that.
I have a simple answer to that, to be honest.
What's the answer?
Move to California.
Okay.
Because the time difference really makes life very time efficient, because I still mainly work with Europe, and I did, I moved 7 years ago, and I worked 5 years in Formula One, the first 5 years, the last 2 years not, but I'm still mainly working with clients or my companies in Germany or in Europe. So I'm waking up at 6 a.m., which is already 3 p.m. in Germany or in Europe.
Okay.
So you only have like 3 to maximum 6 hours. To be fair, my German team does work till 9 p.m., so they start a little later. But after that, it's free time. So I'm not working that much. I'm just working very effective. And a lot of problems are solved by themselves until I wake up on the east west coast of California. So the time difference really, really made me way more efficient than I've ever been before. So move to California, it's quite easy.
so we can say that you have like 27 hours a day?
But sort of, no, 24 plus 9, okay, I would say. Okay. You know, like whatever that makes in math, like 33 hours I have. Sometimes, and I'm losing one day. But yeah, no, that really helped on my side. But and to be fair, nobody ever asked me. I'm asking that question every single person that I'm talking to. And we did a couple of episodes over here. And I don't think anybody ever asked me what I would use my extra hour for. So I got to think about that. But you probably use it for sunsets. Sunsets is a good thing, right?
Actually, I mean, yes. I mean, sunsets are anything that have to do with my friend and my family. I mean, you know that entrepreneurship, what you don't have is time. I mean, you're always looking for more time in your life. And whenever you have those moments, I want to spend some time doing some sports, traveling, going to meeting new restaurants. And spending time with family and friends, I think, is the best you can do whenever you have a free moment.
I would probably use it for yoga.
Oh, okay. That's
the best thing.
I have to work on that. Yeah. I start one day Pilates, and I think it. Yeah. I only went like 2 times, so I stopped it. But I really believe that it's something that clears your mind and helps your body to the day to day.
Absolutely, couldn't agree more. I could talk to you forever, but we got to wrap it up, Miguel. Thank you very much for those insights. I'm very much looking forward to those collaborations that I may have seen a glimpse of it. But to our listeners out there, there's stuff to come. You can very much look forward to that. Thanks for that talk, and have a great day in Madrid today. I hope it's good weather over there. It is great weather here in Stuttgart, Germany, where I am, and I'm looking forward to meet you soon, my friend.
Thank you so much, Paul. It was a real pleasure. It was amazing to talk with you.
Hasta luego. That's hasta the luego. Second word I have. Can you say bye-bye in German?
Yeah, tschüss. Tschüss. Auf Wiedersehen.
We both are dual language.
Absolutely.
We are bilingual. Fluent in Spanish and German. Bye, Miguel.
Bye-bye.